disease, which really doesn't apply. But anyway, so how about we're your full service dealer and depository service. We have the highest rated privately held depository service in the West Coast, Northwest, whatever you want to call it. There's nothing else out there like us. We offer a facility that's second to none. The only thing I'll complain about is we've been doing business for so long that I get so many phone calls per day that I've just, it's really weird. I used to spend time doing this and that, and now it's just one after the next because I have friends and customers and good loyal people, and I really like it and I appreciate it and I love to talk. That shocks you, but I really do. And it's dangerous for me, but we get, you know, we get all kinds. There's a lot of people. The one thing is we do what we do. I think what's hard for people sometimes is to comprehend how much we've done what we do and how good we are at it. And a lot of people want you to earn your money. It's kind of a certain personality. Or they have a hard time comprehending the knowledge that we've got, and we can take good care of you. We're very good at this. We've been doing it a long time. In all honesty, I believe that we offer the best potential possibility, whatever you want, the best opportunities available in the marketplace. In other words, there's no one out there that offers the facility we do, the service that we try to provide. We do get a little overwhelmed and stressed, but the quality of product, the pricing is super wholesale to the public. If you had any clue how easy we made it, you'd probably appreciate it. We make it easy. You do not have to worry. You don't have to think. You don't have to try to be an expert. You know, it's hard to even explain the amount of financial background I've got and that we've got, and people get things stuck in their head, and the internet is the great deceiver. In fact, today I was reading about the Great Reset coming, and you know, the internet is what is going to lure those people in. Life experience and wisdom is irreplaceable. It's valuable, okay? But let's face it, the more intelligent someone becomes, the more they believe in another person's intelligence. And without insulting anyone, the more ignorant someone is, the more they rely on themselves. And you might think, well, where are you coming up with that? Okay. I've discussed this in the past. It's called the Dunning and Kruger effect. Okay. So, I mean, I don't know who I'm talking to. But I can tell you there's a plethora, there's a span of IQs out there. You can take the Stanford Bitten IQ test if you want to know what your IQ is. And some of you might be shocked at how low it is, and some of you might be shocked at how high it is. What is an IQ? It's your ability to process information. It's the, computers. It's your computer chip. It's the... there you go, there goes the IQ thing right there. But you know, it's like your computer. It's how much capacity you have for processing information. I was going to say the super chip or super whatever. It's what you were given. Now, IQ can be affected and it can grow, but you really have to push and expand yourself. You got to be a sponge, right? So the Dunning and Kruger effect is very interesting. It's very legit, and it was a study done, let's see here. Well, anyway, the Dunning and Kruger effect, this is a well-studied fact. The cognitive bias, okay, cognitive bias, what does that mean? It means your intellectual perspective that's been skewed or biased from your own perspective, okay? We get put on this earth, and we call it what's the baseline. That's where people come up with evolution and all this, because everything around them is the baseline. They just accept it as okay and normal. That's not IQ based. That's just a human nature. We start with what we start with, but kids are just in awe at everything, which is pretty cool. It tells you how special we've got. So same goes for this, cognitive bias. It's your ability to see things. Well, you see things from your perspective, but it's also your ability to change that perspective. I think that's one of the great signs of intelligence. And there's also EQ, emotional quotient, emotional intelligence. But I've met over the years really impressive, phenomenal businessmen, CEOs, and just smart people. And they move their visual. They try to look at situations from every angle. That is a reduction and sometimes a removal of bias. I don't buy into the left-wing stuff, so I don't spend a lot of time with my mind there, but I do, you know, migrate through that process just so I have, but it's my desire to reduce bias. Luckily, when I was in college studying applied math and statistics, they emphasize losing bias, trying to be objective. People are very biased. They have their own perspective, and a lot of times it's comfortable for them. It fits their agenda, and they don't want to change. So anyway, the Dunning and Kruger effect, it says, is the cognitive bias whereby people with low ability at a task, in other words, you know, if this is an intelligence issue, you know, the people that think they go on Google and become an expert in 10 minutes, and then they think they know everything because they can't comprehend what they don't know. It says, whereby people with low ability at a task overestimate their ability. Some researchers also include in their definition the opposite effect for high performers. Their tendency, in other words, people that are high performers may overestimate their abilities too. Their tendency to underestimate, no, actually, I shouldn't have said that. Even high performers tend to underestimate their skills. So underperformers, people that aren't that intelligent or educated, brilliant, whatever, and I know education bias and all that, but there are Christian schools and all that. We won't get into that right now. So people of low ability intellectually overestimate how smart they are, and people of high ability underestimate their skills. And I think that may be part of it, may be societally driven, where you end up having to do that because it makes life more comfortable. I know in some cases, people of high ability will be mocked and ridiculed because, you know, book smart and all that. But there's a difference between being intelligent and being book smart. And being intelligent applies to everything. I've been around the business world a long time. I've seen a lot of really intelligent people. Smart people have, you know, they have street smarts. They have, you know, a gut. They have an intellectual capacity to do well at anything. People of lower ability are, you know, they're like bricks. They just kind of push forward and they think that they're doing it the right way and they simplify things and they're actually impressed with themselves. I've seen that. I've had employees like that and friends like that that they're impressed with themselves. And maybe ignorance is bliss. That may be a beautiful thing. But so we'll go on. So I overdid it. So their definition of the opposite effect for high performers, their tendency to underestimate their skills. The Dunning and Kruger effect is measured by comparing self-assessment with objective performance. For example, the participants in a study may be asked, Mike's in the way, to complete a quiz and then estimate how well they did. The subjective assessment, so subjectivity is your own personal perspective. Objectivity is an unbiased accuracy. So the subjective assessment is then compared with how well they actually did. This can happen either in relative or in absolute terms. In other words, it says, in comparison with one's peer group, as the percentage of peers outperformed, or in comparison with objective standards, as the number of questions answered correctly. Dunning and Kruger effect appears in both cases, but is more pronounced in relative terms. The bottom, they've rewritten this, and it's not very fun to read. This is not, it's too in-depth. Let's see if we can simplify it. Okay, here it is. The Dunning and Kruger effect is defined as the tendency of people with low ability in a specific area to give overly positive assessments of their ability. This is often understood as a cognitive bias, as a systematic tendency to engage in erroneous, it's off my screen, forms of thinking and judging. In other words, skewed perspective. It's not, you're not near as smart as you think you are, or we aren't, or whoever. And it says, biases are systematic in the sense that they occur consistently in different situations. They are tendencies since they concern certain inclinations or dispositions that may be observed in groups of people, but are not manifested in every performance. So again, this thing has been written, so it's not, it used to have a nice little recap on it. So basically, we'll just leave it at this. It's a cognitive bias whereby people with low ability at a task overestimate their ability. And then they also say high performers tend to underestimate their ability, and it's been scientifically proven. So go test your IQ, find out who you are. If you think you got a high IQ, you know, how good are you at math? How good's your vocabulary? How good are you at spatial relations? There's a bunch of, you know, there's a lot of logic stuff and things in the test. It's also timed performance-wise. So the faster you get it done, the higher the score. I won't tell you what mine is, but it's not bad. And I've done it a couple, maybe 2-3 times over the years. Stanford Benton is probably your best bet for that. But all I'm saying is, wise people ask questions. You know, Proverbs 18:2, a fool takes no pleasure in understanding, but only in expressing his own opinion. So a person who's a fool would say, well, I'm not expressing my opinion. I'm expressing what I read and what I know to be true. But it's still, once it's coming out of your mouth, it's your opinion. And remember, Jesus said, it's not what we put into ourselves that defile us, but what comes out of our mouths, which is super interesting. Every time I say that, I'm intrigued, because you can define the person that you are just by what comes out of your mouth. What comes out of your mouth starts in your mind. And I was writing a text to someone today, and I put this CBA thing, the opposite ABC. Conceive it, believe it, achieve it, you know. So you got to think it, you got to believe it, and then you can do it. And that's the way God made us. And we have to just be really, and one of the most incredible traits of wisdom is to ask questions, to be able to put things in a form that are questions. And I've been in a few situations where I've had to do that. One time in a hearing that I was an expert witness at, and afterwards they asked me if I'd been an attorney before, and I said no, because it's just learning how to construct, to take factual statements and construct questions, but to construct them in such a way that the respondent understands them. And you know, over a series of questions, if they're not telling the truth, they walk themselves into a corner. That is a special art. But if you take what you think you know and you just come in with something in your head, ask questions. I mean, really ask questions. Don't you want to know? Don't you want to know about different products and different options and different, or, you know, don't you want to know? A lot of people have, well, it's my money and I'm going to do what I want with it. Of course, we always cater to that, and we'll facilitate your requests and desires. But there's so much wisdom you're missing out on. And I've spoken even recently about 401ks and IRAs a little bit. It's critical that you understand what you're doing. It's, you're procrastinating the inevitable. You happen to have been in a market that is supposedly providing you with a profitable venture. Okay, in other words, the market's been so strong, if you're not making money on your investments, something's wrong. You need to be making money on your investments, because it's so, you know, the Dow, you know, and they've got all this stuff. Now you got all these financial advisors pumping out information saying, like, beat the Dow. We help you beat the Dow. Well, we have been through a market that's pretty strong. When these guys tell you, and you may not listen to this stuff, but I listen to like XM or Sirius Radio a lot, I have to have information pouring into my head at all times. I've been harassed by my family. I will be working here at night, and I will be literally, I'll have music on in the background, I'll have a movie on TV, and I'll have some kind of educational resource playing like on my computer or YouTube or whatever, and they're like, how can you even do this? It's just like word salad, and you know, and I'm like, I don't know, but my brain loves it. I just like to take it all in. It's just me. Maybe it's hyperstimulation or something. But if you're out seeking wisdom, a lot of people send me stuff like, oh, watch this video. Well, and did you watch my video? I mean, how many hours in a day do you think I got? You know, watching videos, that's why I taught myself a long time ago to speed read out of necessity. I can speed read huge articles in no time, but I suppose you can, oops, telephone. I suppose you can turn up the speed of a YouTube video and crank that out at breakneck pace. But, you know, I typically don't want to have someone going, so anyway, I can't watch every video that comes my way. Today I started watching a little bit of stuff on Charlie Kirk on The Great Reset, which was quite intriguing. I didn't have time to watch a lot of it, but it just kind of got my mind going in a direction that you know it's going on, and it sounds so far-fetched, it's unbelievable. What is The Great Reset? The Great Reset, folks, and this Ukrainian-Russian thing, all this stuff is playing in. It's not just a big conspiracy. That's what they want you to think. They want you to think that it's so crazy it couldn't be real. And you know what? It is so crazy it shouldn't be real. So the World Economic Forum, and I didn't really get into this much, but I'll just start going through stuff that I got. The World Economic Forum, let's see here, oh, weird. Anyway, the World Economic Forum is where the richest people in the world meet every year, and they get together, and they're arrogant, and they know it all, and they basically construct or discuss how they're going to change and control the world. That's just what they do. And they're convinced they're doing it. They're absolutely convinced that they're doing it, that they're gonna do it, and that's what they're doing, and that's that. And they've got an agenda. Hillary Clinton's big on it. Biden, aside from his, you talk about a lack of intelligence, that man's got it. So Klaus Schwab is the head of it, and he's talking about how they've taken down entire governments and taken down the world in whole. And I'll tell you, I'm going to read to you some of their own text. This is from the World Economic Forum, which heads up the Great Reset. It says, this is from World Economic Forum's website. There is an urgent need for global stakeholders. What's that? Leaders, powerful money people, big bucks, super billionaires, and people that are clamped in on power. This is why the Clintons and the Bidens and the Obamas are convinced that they're going to leave this four-year administration of Biden's. They're all going to leave billions, billionaires, big bucks. That's their ultimate goal, because they hang out with these people, and these people, few billionaires made it, they stole it. I'm sorry, but not, you know, and the arrogance that comes with it too. You look at even Jeffrey Epstein, no one knows where he got his money. He was worth billions, got his head, you know, taken off for being in the wrong place or doing the wrong things to the wrong people and all this. But a lot of these people that are worth billions, it's not an honest accumulation. There's a lot of corruption involved. Look at Zuckerberg. I mean, Mr. Dark Eyes, that guy's spiritual realm is so deep, deeply disturbed, it's crazy. But how's he make his money? By spying on people, taking their information, selling it, transferring it, manipulating people. You know, there's always Amazon, Jeffrey Bezos, and he's just, you know, he got lucky. The dude got lucky, you know. And I'm sure, then there's the old hard style billionaires like Trump. You know, they tried and tried and tried to find dirt on him. Folks, if there was dirt on him, they'd have had it. Can you imagine? They accused him of all this stuff with Ukraine, and now Putin's going in. You think maybe Trump might have been onto something? I mean, the guy was brilliant, but old school real estate, I spent years in banking. Hardcore real estate guys like Trump, they push. That's the hardest way to make your money. They said Trump used to walk on the job sites, hard hat and all, and he fit right in with the guys. He just had no cap on his thinking and no restraint on his drive. And he's old school, hard school, and people are like, oh, he stole the money. Is it not interesting that the billionaires, you know, like Mark Cuban and all these guys who got lucky, they got one big whop, something they bought that blew up and grew. They accuse Trump of stealing the money. They accuse him of corruption. All the billionaires that don't like Trump accuse him of corruption. Why? Well, as I've said, to a thief, everyone's a thief. Is that not interesting? I find it a bit intriguing that they would even think that way. They wouldn't think, wow, that dude worked hard to get what he's got, right? No, they just assume he stole it. Well, there's another thing too. I was listening to a gal today who was talking about Putin. Putin is stating that they have pushed propaganda on the Russian people for a considerable amount of time, saying that they want to attack Russia with biological weaponry. Ukraine has a bioweapons testing facility, apparently one of the most profound in the world. Now, there's all these things that are starting to make sense. Russia wants that. They want to get their hands on that. And you got to really think about it because it makes good sense, right? I mean, they want to get a hold of that thing. And what's he going to do with it? You know, Russia has nukes. That, my friends, is a severe concern right there in and of itself. And the thing about it is they keep threatening it. They keep threatening to use nukes. And you've got these radical left-wing whack jobs. I mean, this is the craziest time in history. This is the greatest country. Go back to our origins and think, who are we? We're a country that fought hard, sweat and blood on hard land because we wanted freedom and justice and righteousness. And finally, we're at a point where these people are literally hijacking our country. There's no question about it. They don't even belong there. Their thought process, they've learned how to fleece the system. They've learned how to embed themselves in the political arena to a point of sheer destruction and theft. I mean, they don't just want to steal money for themselves. They want to destroy the whole system. They're globalists. You know, globalists believe in no borders and complete elitist leadership. It really boils down to one thing if you're listening to this show. It's God or no God. I mean, if you really, you have to understand that. And what you've got to understand is when you have God and you think of doing things correctly and kindly and rightly and fairly, it's almost difficult sometimes to comprehend people who do not have God because that's not their goal. If you don't believe in God, who is your God? You. What are they trying to do? What does the Bible tell us Lucifer tried to do? He tried to ascend to the high throne of God. Something, he was made so great and so glorious that he became arrogant and self-centered and pompous and entitled to the point where he thought he could knock God off the throne. I mean, what? I don't even comprehend that myself, right? But to put it into perspective, you and I can't even think that because we don't even have access. But it talks about Lucifer walking up and down on the rolling rocks of fire in our solar system, meaning he could move from planet to planet. And I do believe historically there was other life and other beings somewhere involved in this thing. And he was also able to ascend to heaven and talk to God. And that's where the whole Job story comes, where he goes, hey, I've walked the whole planet and I found your servant Job, this really good, righteous, awesome guy. And Lucifer recognized his godliness. He's like, this guy's special. And I want to take him out. The only reason, he says to God, the only reason that he's such a great guy for you is because you've made his life so good. What does that tell us? God blesses his children. God blesses those who seek him. But in this particular case, God allowed Lucifer to have at him. Phase by phase by phase, Job never fell. Hard times, everything. God ultimately restored to Job double or better, frankly. How you replace a family, I don't know. You know, but God says he did it. The word of God says it happened. But Lucifer had the ability to go to heaven and have this conversation with God. I don't think Lucifer was praying. It says he went and talked to him, okay? So he's at this high level. And at that level, he tried to take the throne of God and was knocked out. That is our sinful nature. We want to be our own gods. That's sort of what I was talking about at the beginning of the show with the way people come in sometimes. And I'm not, you know, venting. I'm just saying it's just wisdom. You might think you serve God. You might think you have the Christian brand, like you've been branded by God. Okay, but that isn't how it works. You're not a cow, you didn't get a brand, and you're not his property, and you can go do whatever you want. You're his slave. He chose you, he opened your heart. It says no one can come to him unless God draws him in. So God had to draw you in. And there, you know, I can get into the people that don't believe this or that, I don't really care right now. But he, and then you have a relationship with him. You know that he's the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, the Almighty, the Creator of the universe. And he's huge and he's massive and he's incredible and he's powerful and he's glorious. And somehow he creates us and cares about us. But we've been created with great limitation. So don't get arrogant ever. He has given you the ability to experience life and make decisions for better or worse, choose good. Some of the hardest things for us are forgiveness, repentance, empathy. Those three are a brutal, brutal combination. It's so hard to forgive for some people. I'll tell you, here's how you forgive. I mean, not that I'm an expert, but God's shown me a little bit. Don't care about yourself. Stop caring. It's all superficial. It's all imaginary. It's fake. If you're made up of atoms and everything's made up of atoms, your spirit, your soul, your consciousness is put here in a vessel to make decisions that somehow affect, well, they do. They affect the outcome of our life on a grand scale. They also affect the outcome of our life on a micro scale when we go to heaven. There are different types of judgments, different types of rewards. Do good. Be righteous. Be fair. You can be broken. You can be trapped in all kinds of things and do good. You can be in abusive relationships. You can have addictions. You can, you know, be struggling with things. And you can still just do good. And when it, I'll leave it at this. Forgiveness, folks, looks at the inside of a person. It understands that each and every one of us is broken. And the first thing I think that's required for brokenness is forgiving yourself. And when you look at other people, not thinking they have bad intentions all the time. People don't always have bad intentions. There's people that are the most miserable people you'll run into. How'd they get like that? I don't know. Maybe they have some really traumatic past. You know, who knows? You can get into the whole psychology of it. You can love them. God actually loves them the way they are. There's people when the only unforgivable sin is blaspheming the Spirit. In other words, God's like, once you cross that line, it's just, you're not turning back. And maybe they will turn back, but at that point they don't, okay? So we need to understand that in order to walk with God in humility, we've got to be able to forgive, we've got to be able to love. Think about what love is in 1 Corinthians. Patient, kind, it's not jealous, it's not boastful, it's not rude, it's not arrogant. And it hopes all things, believes all things. What does that mean? It wants the best for other people. So when you get into this reset, global reset stuff, these people don't know God. They don't have a clue about what I just discussed. They don't have a clue. It's all about them. And it's all about those filthy, right-wing, radical Christian nut jobs that'll take over the world and they're going to ruin everything. Why? Because they have bad spirits. Without God, you're a sinner. And when you get to these levels of power and corruption, you can't even comprehend goodness. You cannot comprehend someone who's really good. I mean, they're hard to find, and they're probably even harder to comprehend for people in those positions. So you got to understand, it is God versus godliness, period. And I don't care if they say they go to this church or that church, and they show up at the Catholic Church and take communion, and, you know, I'm sure they're not going to confession, which, you know, you don't need anyway, but I know that frustrates some of the Catholics because they're totally adhered to the liturgy, but that's not what came out of the words of the mouth of Christ at all. So, let's see how we're doing on time. Same deal, rock and roll. Okay. So let's get back to this Great Reset thing. I'm reading on my phone. The COVID-19, this is straight off the World Economic Forum's website. These are the leaders. These are the architects, if you will, of the global reset. And what is the global reset? The global reset, or the Great Reset, is a complete and total unification of the world. America is filthy rich in their eyes and arrogant. That's why these people believe in no borders. It's control. They've got all the money they need, and I think it's just like everything else. If you look at what's going on with Putin in Ukraine, and you go back to Hitler, why did Hitler's people, or Hitler's henchmen, soldiers, whatever you want to call them, round shirts on down, the SS, why did they do the evil, hateful, rotten things they did? Well, a lot of it was just peer pressure, peer pressure. Everyone around them was doing it, at least behaved a certain way, because if you showed any deviation from the code or the plan or the narrative, you get shot in the head. Life preservation. Go home at night to your wife. You don't want to lose your wife and kids. You're scared. The other thing is, our psychologically, it's easier for us, sadly, to fall in line and adhere, well, for a lot of us, than it is to stand up and fight. Fighting's awkward, it's uncomfortable, it's hard, you don't know who's got your back, you don't know where it's going to end up, you may, you know, on and on we go. Someone needed to take Hitler out early. I'm sitting there studying all this stuff today. We will not give Ukraine squat. They've got bioweapons. You've got Putin threatening nuclear war. Do you know this guy has absolutely, he's bombing maternity centers, folks? This guy's a sick, rotten, evil man. It's a complete attack on innocence, on a sovereign land, and our president, this guy, there's only one reason this is going on. And when I talked about the godliness versus godlessness, I was thinking today, everything that Biden does and the left does is the opposite of a good corporate executive. What's a good corporate executive do? He wants to create an atmosphere of positivity. These guys are creating an atmosphere of self-destruction and negativity. A corporate exec wants to be profitable. These left-wingers want to just create money out of thin air and just, excuse me, but piss it away, just blow it. You know, a good corporate executive is going to try to trim expenses. These guys blow expenses. A good corporate executive protects the company. These guys are letting our country just be disassembled, ransacked. Look at also what's going on in Ukraine. They've blown up Kiev, destroyed it. 4 million people have fled. Dead people everywhere. There, you've got soldiers in Kiev or Kiev, I've heard both. You've got soldiers, Russian soldiers, that are literally shooting civilians, taking them out. This is just sheer evil. You've got now, what happens when they go to Poland and Hungary and Romania? Because guess what? It's going to happen. What happens when he gets bioweapons? You know what our approach is, the cowardly left? Oh no, you can instigate and agitate. Anything we do will just instigate and agitate Putin. They're cowards. It is not easy to be brave. We don't call it bravery because it's easy, but they don't care about bravery. They care about preserving their skewed perception of powerful power and leadership, I guess. So the Great Reset. There's an urgent need for global stakeholders to cooperate in simultaneously managing the direct consequences of the COVID-19 crisis to improve the state of the world. The World Economic Forum is starting the Great Reset Initiative. Yes, they said it. This started, unfortunately, Bush Sr. with his New World Order. They started this. They believed this way. The COVID-19 crisis, I'm reading, and the political, economic, and social disruptions it has caused, did it cause it or did Soros and his gang, but anyway, is fundamentally changing the traditional context for decision making. In other words, the decision making is going to have to go to a global level. You just, as a nation, we are not, should not have autonomy. And especially as individual citizens, we should not have autonomy. Okay? It says the inconsistencies, inadequacies, and contradictions of multiple systems, that means the variation between nations, primarily America. I'll read that again. This is talking about the American attitude of freedom and justice, and you know, you get it. The inconsistencies, inadequacies, in other words, some are rich, some are poor, and contradictions, some believe in freedom, some don't. And by the way, Ukraine is a land of freedom and justice, and we've impregnated ourselves there with this corrupt left-wing garbage under Obama throwing money all over the place. I can just keep going. You know that Biden is rumored, okay, he's getting Americans back, left-wingers, from, I think, Venezuela and Iran that are being held. They say that he's bribing over $1 billion. What a loser. You know, we need Trump back. We need a corporate exec. So, again, my bad. I keep going off. The inconsistencies, inadequacies, and contradiction, inadequacies and contradictions of multiple systems, from health and financial, oh, my brain's going, from health and financial to energy and education, are more exposed than ever amidst a global context of concern for our lives, livelihoods, and the planet. These sentences are packed. From health, you know, healthcare, the COVID, or the, what is it, COVID, Piven, Cloward and Piven strategy says to use the healthcare system to take over the country and destroy it. Well, guess what COVID did? And all this free healthcare stuff, okay? And nationally, the health. We got to attack the health. And when health is a threat, health incorporates everything. When I was first reading about the Cloward and Piven strategy a long time ago, and it was like, well, you know, we can use the healthcare system to take over everything because it integrates every aspect of a person's life. They can start to control what you eat, where you go, what you breathe, how you live. And if you won't obey or comply, you know what's coming next, folks? Property seizures. Because without property, you are not free. If you don't have your own refuge, your own property rights, your own home, you're not free. You become a transient and you become dependent on the government. And that's how they use health care, right? So from health and financial, well, financial's a no-brainer. They've got this new, you know, they just took down supposedly Visa access and MasterCard access in Russia. Supposedly Visa and MasterCard as a whole are denying their use in Russia. So people that are just mainstream, you know, common people like me, you know, I can't use my credit cards anymore. How's that hurting Putin? It's making everybody mad, but their anger isn't focused properly. There's so many other forms of payment now, it's not even funny. And if you don't think these billionaires had this planned ahead, I mean, they supposedly, you know, they say, well, we're not going to go after the country, but we're going to go after these rich elite billionaires. And I don't understand why that's even relevant. But they're doing it. Maybe it looks good because they got to destroy those rich, powerful people that don't agree with them. Soros isn't getting attacked. Klaus Schwab's not getting attacked because they're part of the Great Reset. From health and financial to energy and education, those speak for themselves. Look what Biden's doing with energy, and look at our education system. I mean, what are they trying to do there? Shut it down, you know, do everything online, nothing personal, you know, blah, blah, blah. You got the point. It says they're more exposed than ever amidst a global context of concern for our lives, livelihoods, and the planet. Our lives, you know, they need to protect you because there's no God. They are your God. Our livelihoods, the way you make your money, they have to control that. You know, they want you all to be a robot widget or be on their system. And then they're pumping currency out like it's going out of style so they can keep throwing money out there. That's not going to last forever. And of course, at the end, they enter the planet. That is the Green Deal. That's global climate change. Climate change. Use your head. That makes sense? Well, you know, because we're such bad people and we've been so disrespectful of the planet, it can get too hot or too cold. So when we get record temperatures, ooh, it's our fault. It's climate change. Do study meteorological studies on historical weather, man. You know, you go back, you look at redwood trees. I've done this in the redwood forest that have come down, massive, you know, 1,000-year-old trees. And they have them cut smooth, lacquered, and somebody went back and figured out the era of the rings. You go back like literally 1,000 years from, you know, say 2000 or whatever. So you're going back to 1000 AD, and they show these compressed eras where there was some of the most severe drought ever. They can tell when there was just extreme precipitation. They can tell when there was volcanic eruptions it's amazing. There's absolute fluctuation. Our planet is alive. Our planet breathes. It moves. It changes. It's incredible. It's not our fault. If you even could comprehend the planet you stand on, not just the surface area or the area of the surface, which is 80% water, 25,000 miles around circumference, but all the mass within it that creates magnetism and gravity and, you know, who knows what's under there. I mean, that's a whole conversation for another day. It's so far beyond our control. We occupy less than 3% of the dry land mass of Earth. And you can't even see us from a satellite. You'll see a twinkle for LA and New York, just a little sparkle. You know, we're not changing the weather. CO2 is so bad That's carbon dioxide. Why are you wearing a mask? You expel, you inhale oxygen and some other, you know, nitrogen and hydrogen, but you expel carbon dioxide. The masks make you rebreathe your own carbon dioxide. Creates hypoxia, etc. So here we go. It says, we're more exposed than ever amidst a global context of concern for your lives, livelihoods, and planet. Leaders, which Biden is not, find themselves at a historic crossroads. This means dictators. Managing short-term pressures against medium and long-term uncertainties. In other words, we got to take over, man. We've got to take over now. Short-term, you know, you can say, well, we'll be past this. There will be no new normal, folks. Get used to it. And I'm going to jump in here. What's the point of hard assets? Why do I do what I do? It is timeless money. It's the only liquid, transportable, and anonymous and recognizable form of currency on Earth that's been written from Earth exists since the beginning of written human history. It's always been the pinnacle form of wealth in every civilized society, period. No questions asked. Bitcoin and crypto, yeah, till they shut the electronic system off. That's coming next. They're going to shut us down. If you're conservative, you better have metals. Liquid, transportable, barterable metals. They're not serial numbered. I mean, I can tell you stories of people that got out of Nazi Germany and Vietnam just because they had gold. And they watched people get shot in the head who had piles of currency. And the currency becomes obsolete. It gets hyperinflated into oblivion. It goes on. It says the opportunity. As we enter a unique window of opportunity to shape the recovery, this initiative will offer, This initiative will offer insights to help inform all those determining the future state of global relations. In other words, we get everyone that's in power and control together and we inform them how to shape it. The direction of national economies, the priorities of societies, the nature of business models, and the management of a global common interest. Global common interest. Let's back up. What ties into a global common interest? What did they just say? They have to inform these the leaders, the powerful leaders, the future state of global relations, the direction of national economies. So this is how, again, we're looking for global common interest. Economics, the priorities of societies, which is, you know, we're all in this together. Individualism has to die. And the nature of business models. It's fascism. Corporate takeover of our national governments, etc. This is a lot. I understand it's heavy content. It says, drawing from the vision and vast expertise of the leaders, because they're so bright, so incredible. You know, just because you're in those positions doesn't mean you're smart. And it says, drawing from the vision and vast expertise of the leaders engaged across the forum's community, that's World Economic Forum, people who are members of our communist, socialist, Marxist group, the Great Reset Initiative has a set of dimensions to build a new social contract that honors the dignity of every human being. Has America not honored the dignity of every human being? I don't even know what that means. China doesn't. Russia doesn't. And on it goes. Okay, so we're going to leave that there right now. I do have zero time again. I will say that there's a quick article here. New Florida Department of Health guidance says COVID-19 vaccine may not benefit health fit 5 to 17-year-olds. So I read the article. Here's the deal. They've shown that it doesn't work for kids. They've shown that kids don't get sick with or without it, the placebo. The kids that took the vaccine got sicker, had heart disease, and all kinds of stuff. So here's where you got to watch articles. This is CNN Health, okay? The Florida Department of Health released new guidance Tuesday that says healthy children between the ages of 5 and 17 do not need to get the vaccine, the COVID-19 vaccine, okay? Based on currently available data, healthy children 5 to 17 may not benefit, this is CNN, they don't, from receiving the currently available COVID-19 vaccine. Department recommends that children with underlying conditions are the best candidates for the COVID-19 vaccines. That makes sense? Underlying conditions, if you're already sick, you need this to get sicker so we can get rid of you, according to Bill Gates. It says parents are encouraged to discuss the risks and benefits with their children's health care practitioner with their when evaluating whether their children should receive the COVID-19 vaccine, particularly for children with underlying health conditions and comorbidities. Those are the people that die anyway from the vaccine. So here we go on. This is where statistics is twisted. Well, here's the thing I want you to watch. So that was ages 5 to 17, right? So here's CNN spin. The guidance released Tuesday says that the risks of the vaccine outweigh its benefits in children who don't have underlying conditions. In other words, it kills you. It cites, and kids don't get sick. It cites reports of increased incidence of myocarditis, inflammation of the heart muscle, and then it goes on, it says the study that guidance uses in support to support this concern also found that the risk of myocarditis is rare. Here's where you got to watch what you're reading. In vaccines given to 16 and 17 year olds, what's that got to do with 5 to 17? That's where your statistics is getting spun. There could be all kinds of anomalies in that test. Maybe they didn't have a lot of 16 or 17-year-olds. I don't know. But that has nothing to do. They come straight out and they tell you it don't work. And it's dangerous. It's detrimental. And I know there's people out there that have gotten vaccinated because it's easier, they tell me. It just makes life easier. So to wrap this great reset thing up, Biden is a Marxist, the absolute opposite of a corporate CEO. That's the way to look at it. What was Trump? Corporate CEO, corporate president. He's the exact opposite, correct? I mean, I think you get that. They're preventing Ukraine from getting MiG-29 fighters. We are. They're letting Ukraine fall hard, folks. Russia's been bombing maternity wards. The only reason we care about Russia is because they have nukes. They're a third world country with nukes. You've got this pact that's building. Iran, Russia, and China. And I believe it's very, very biblical. And I wish I had time today to read Matthew 24, because it really, you know, it says there, when it says there'll be wars and rumors of wars and nation against nation, if you look up the word nation, it's not nation, it's ethnos, ethnicity, race against race, race wars. It's really, really interesting what Christ said. And that's his disciples asked three questions. They asked, how will you know when the time comes here? How will you know, where is it? But basically, the third question that they asked was, how will we know the end times? I'll just finish rattling through this in my time. The situation we're in is very, very real, okay? I consider it life and death. We've got a new Hitler running. He's not playing with the full deck. He told his generals there is no option but to win. There is no resignation. There is no compromise. They will not stop until they destroy. And I mentioned Hungary, Poland, and Romania, and on he goes. What do we do then? I mentioned the bioresearch facilities. The left keeps saying, well, any action that we take against Putin will agitate and escalate. So, and the left's always wrong, folks. They're always wrong. Russia's devastating Kyiv. They're shooting at civilians. I don't know. You get my point. You've got one mind in Iran, China, and Russia. And Biden, it reminds me of three gangs. that have a goal to destroy a city. And then you've got like Biden, who's this weak guy who tries to be pals with them and goes, here's a bunch of money, guys. Flip, 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 flip. Will you like me? You promise you'll like me? Be my friend. I really like you guys. I'm afraid of you guys. Don't pick on me. I'm afraid it'll make me look bad, you know, and I don't want to make you mad. So just do whatever you want. But, you know, promise to be nice to me. If you guys get control of the city, you promise you'll be really nice. And guess what? Godliness and godlessness. Godlessness doesn't mind lying. Here's what it is. The disciples asked, when will these things take place? What is the sign of your coming and the end of the world? When, what, and what's the sign? And that's when Jesus said, wars, rumors of wars, etc. Running out of time, right? So then Russia comes out yesterday or the day before and says they want the same relationship from the Cold War, which they call a peaceful coexistence. Is this peaceful? So anyway, I'm out of time again. What's new, right? I hope you get the point. The global reset is here. It's real. Folks, secure yourself financially. I wrap this at the end. I'm not kidding you. Just, you know, the Bible mentions metals all the way through, all the way to heaven. The rest of it, you can chuck. It's all paper. If you don't have it in your hand, it's garbage. Our phone number is 509-444-0044 in Spokane. We'll take care of you. Thanks for your time. Take care. Have a great night. God bless. Love you. Bye-bye.